It's been about 8 weeks that we've been banging one drum, and that is about catching fire. Okay, we're going to kick off with a video that's going to hint at where we're going this morning. You have a chance to do something. You have been given a chance. The only thing is whether you're going to take that chance and do something with your life or wimp out. Let's rewind a little bit. We've spent, as I said, 7 weeks already as we think about, we started with fire for living. If you don't have passion for life, I want to suggest that passion for life is quite fickle and it can fade very quickly. Someone at the heart of their career can in a moment, in an instant, feel like there is no hope and no future, and they can take their life in a moment of sadness. It happened this last week. We have to keep passion for living alive, otherwise life can snuff out like a flame. We looked at fire for learning, how important it is to stay learning, to never feel like I know it all. Don't you hate a know-it-all? When you speak to someone and they got that glazed look in their eyes and yeah, they know it all. You can't say anything to a know-it-all. Fire for loving God. Nothing is more important in life than actually loving God. You can love a lot of stuff, you can love a lot of peeps, but when the peeps are gone, you want the one who created the peeps to be with you. God is there. Fire for listening, the importance of listening to keep you alive, to keep you from danger. We're going to spend the whole of next term in the Fire Starters series with fire for disciple making. We're going to learn how to do that. What an incredible Sunday we had last week where Tabile took us into the fire for leading others. Every one of us are leaders. I think she said it's whether you're going to lead positively or negatively. Are you going to be transformational or transactional like President Snow? I'd rather be the kind of leader that Katniss exemplifies in this trilogy series. And so for today, we want to look at fire for leaving. And I don't mean leaving youth or leaving Joburg or leaving South Africa, but leaving a legacy behind you. You're probably thinking, well, just remind me how you're using the word legacy, because there's many usages of every word, but it's something that gets handed down. Hopefully one day I would have my will sort of read when I'm long gone, and my family will gather around and say, wow, he really left us a lot. Hopefully they won't say, like, cheapskate or miser, where's all the life resources that we can share? And not everyone's always happy when a will is read, but that's a legacy, and it's maybe financial. But it's more than that. It's what you are remembered for. It's what you accomplish that can help others. You may be the first person in your generation, in your family line, that does something unique and different, and you unlock something for others to follow you. Wouldn't that be awesome to be remembered for that? Well, let me take you back then one more time, one last time to Panem, BC, before Katniss. Okay, BK, but BC, right? So what was this world actually like? Ah, it's a beautiful, beautiful country. I mean, just look at the president's incredibly beautiful mansion, right? I mean, we've been in some train stations lately in our travels. Nothing as beautiful as the capital's train station. But it seems like behind the scenes that it's led in quite a brutal way, right? I mean, if you look at all those peacekeepers standing guard there, it doesn't look like a nice, peace-loving New Zealand kind of society where everyone's just happy, loving each other and dancing all the time. It seems that it is harsh down in the various districts. When you create something, you don't share much in it. Everything you create is robbed and taken away and given to a very few people in that capital. People are living in abject poverty. It's hard. You're working for whatever you can and you're scrounging. But I want to suggest that bubbling beneath the surface is a rebellion that's brewing. But is it going to go anywhere? Because the peacekeepers are just so powerful. Surely they're just going to ride in and squash any hint of rebellion. what or who is going to bring change in that world. What or who? I think it's a who, maybe. Someone who's going to symbolize the possibility that change can take place. I want you to ask that person next to you if they've seen the movie. What do they think the legacy of Katniss Everdeen was in this movie series? And if they haven't, tell them to go to Exclusive or Estoril or Musica tomorrow and pick up a copy of the second movie and they can join the gang. Okay, so ask someone, what was Katniss's legacy? What did she create and leave behind through her life? When I was thinking about this Sunday, I actually thought, you know what? I'm ill-equipped to unpack the intricacies of the legacy that she's left behind. So I thought what I would do is do a little bit of research. So I called two very special people, Daniela and Shalom, and I said, Daniela and Shalom, what do you think that I should be saying about the legacy of Katniss? And they suggested a number of things to me, and I boiled down to just three words. There's a lot more, and it went on for quite a while, our dialogue interaction. Thank you so much. Take my hat off. So I give full credit, and there may be some spoiler alerts coming, so watch out for that. Hope. We've heard it in just about every video clip. It's been very hard to not hear that word hope, but I want you to watch it one more time. How did she inspire hope? She stood up against the capital, against the system. She changed the outcome of the first Hunger Games when her and Peter were declared the winners because she was willing to say, I'm going to take my own life and his life as well. He would take his life and there would be no winner. Could you imagine the embarrassment that would be for the organizers of the games with their two victors lying dead? Not exactly what they wanted. And as the people watched this, they realized, you know what? If she can do something different, if she can rise up, if she can stand on a national platform and give the salute of the rebellion, you know what? We can do that. Despite the brutality, despite the dim future, if she has hope, I wonder how much individuals in the world that we've lived in, who've lived with hope, have inspired us to have hope, and how our lives would be different if we didn't think that there was hope. Maybe it's the comedians in our world sometimes who give us hope because they laugh about things that we want to rage about sometimes. Maybe it's those leaders of social change that show, you know what, there is hope, there is a better future, maybe, just maybe, things can change. Not only did she leave a legacy of hope behind, but she brought courage. It's one thing to have hope, but it's another and maybe more important thing to be able to yourself, not just say, I hope there's a better future, but you know what, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to do something. How stupid do you have to be to, in an unarmed state, tackle someone who's armed to the nines? Huh? But you have hope. You have courage. And you say, you know what? Despite the odds, despite brutality, despite the presence of some very hostile-looking stormtroopers from Star Wars, they do look a bit like Star Wars stormtroopers, don't you think? I am going to rise up. And you can do this if you're inspired with courage and a revolution can brew. Hope, courage. I want to suggest there's the ultimate legacy that my researchers were talking about this week. And it's the legacy of freedom. Can you imagine thinking about a better world, a different world? Imagine if you were like in bondage at the moment, imprisoned, emotionally, physically, mentally, in whatever way, you have no prospect of a future, and suddenly circumstances begin to change. And before you know it, you wake up one day and you are free. You can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do. You can actually share in the means of production. You wake up one day and the world has literally changed. Your drab, dreary world, even the very earth itself is beginning to look differently. And most of all, there are no more Hunger Games. No one is going to be reaped ever again. No one is going to lose their lives. I remember my reaping when at age 16, I had to apply to give my life for my country. And it wasn't a fun thing to go and stand in someone else's country in Angola and say, shoot me, because I'm here to defend my country. Many of my friends dodged the reaping. Some of us questioned at some point the legitimacy of the whole reaping system, but there were people working in the End Conscription campaign to say that this isn't right, this war is unjust, this shouldn't be happening. And we live in a new world. More of that in just a moment. And so what a legacy. What a legacy, not just Katniss, obviously, but what she inspired, what she helped to do in this fantasy novel series. I cannot not think about his legacy, can I? I mean, in the year in which Nelson Mandela breathed his last, we remember an incredible life. And I wonder for you, and I know I'm this Madala old man, and I remember, I lived through that experience. Maybe for some of you, it's like, yeah, whatever, been there, done that, hello, yeah, we talked about Nelson one time, you know? But I wonder for you what his legacy is. Maybe turn to that same person or in your little group and say, one thing that I think he produced, he created, his legacy was, and see what they say. I'm looking for a few volunteers as you're still talking, just to get in a word or two, what do you think the legacy of Mr. Nelson Mandela was? Anyone come forward and give me a word or phrase?
Okay, so what we were saying is that Nelson Mandela was someone who was not afraid to say that something was wrong or to go against what the norm was, and also to fight for what you believe in and fight for the freedom of everyone.
Humility and striving for equality.
Stunning. Someone else? One of my own personal researchers.
I think ultimately the legacy that Nelson Mandela left was one that I think everything chalks up to equality, because if you're equal, then you can be free. And if you're equal, you can act on the same level. And if you're equal, you can go out and do stuff and you can feel like you have enough inside of you to do something or change something.
Now, you know, well, she's one of our researchers. His forgiveness, forgiving people that had been so brutal against him, that could have gone very different, those of us who were living through those traumatic days. And what a legacy. A revolutionary stuck away in prison for 27, I think I would have given up. Really? You know what I mean? I would have just given up. He did not give up. He saw a better world. That was the world I grew up in. That sign was on my beach below my home. We lived overlooking the beach at Anstey's Beach in Durban. There was a sign that only white people could swim there. There were signs everywhere that only white kids could sit on certain benches and black kids on other benches. Do you know that I never caught the same color bus as a friend who was of another color? I drove the blue bus. Someone else of color drove the green bus. The buses were different. The benches were different. The entrances to the buildings were different. If you were sadly a person of color, you had to carry a book the whole time with you to prove that you were allowed in a white man's world, a white man's area. And not unlike the Hunger Games, police brutality was everywhere. You will not believe this sentence. The white man is the master in South Africa, and the white man, from the very nature of his origins, from the very nature of his birth, and from the very nature of his guardianship, will remain master in South Africa to the end. I don't know what Wally said that, but I'm glad he's, and I hope he's dead and buried. Because that is diabolical, don't you agree? Like, because of the color of your skin, how many millimeters thick is the whatever, the pigment that is actually the difference between us? Because of that, some people thought that it would remain forever, but it wouldn't. It didn't. There was a symbol of the revolution. And maybe it wasn't the three fingers, but it was just as powerful. From revolutionary to prisoner to president. I don't think there's been many people who have done that. Listen to how another president spoke very eloquently at the funeral of Madiba just recently. Unfortunately, there's no sign language in this clip.
It took a man like Madiba to free not just the prisoner, but the jailer as well. To show that you must trust others so that they may trust you. To teach that reconciliation is not a matter of ignoring a cruel past, but a means of confronting it with inclusion and generosity and truth. He changed laws, but he also changed hearts. For the people of South Africa, for those he inspired around the globe, Madiba's passing is rightly a time of mourning and a time to celebrate a heroic life.
Emotional, right? I mean, because it's what we've lived through. We've looked at, I guess, fiction. We've looked at less than fiction in our own world that we've lived in. But I wonder what our legacy should be, could be, might be. Well, before I get really practical, I want to throw up a few scriptures. So obviously I went looking from Genesis through to Revelation and thought, God, if you are suggesting some things among which we might draw on and take from, because it's very hard to know what the specifics are going to be of our legacy, right? Because it relates to our destiny, what's still going to unfold. But listen to some incredible statements. And if you find something worth being a legacy to live for, maybe at some point if you see it, you can raise your hand. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and to cling to him, for he is your life. You will then be able to live safely in the land the Lord promised your ancestors. What would be a legacy in that? Anyone? Love the Lord your God. What a legacy. That you loved God. I guess if that was written on my tombstone, that's quite substantial. And I do know that when you love God, there's an implication out there, as we're going to see just now. You can't love God and not love others. We will not hide the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done for our children, but will tell them to the coming generation. Is there a legacy there? Yeah. In those coming generations. But what is this person going to do who's taking that and saying, that's going to be my legacy? I am going to speak about this God that I know, and I'm going to tell others about him, and I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm going to speak up and use my voice, and I'm going to tell people about the things that God has done. So Debbie prays about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, Lord, would you help us renovate our home? Out of the blue, a scout comes to visit our home while we're in New Zealand, and my son lets him in, what we thought was the dumbest thing that's ever happened on planet Earth. The guy takes photographs all inside our house, tells Keegan they want to come film a commercial in our home. Can you imagine we're sitting, Skyping the kids, and Keeg says, like, oh, there was a guy in our house taking photos, Dad. I think it must have been something about the whiteness of my skin suddenly and the shock and horror that made him suddenly start to think, oh heck, what did I just do? Turns out that Supersport wants to film an ad for Brazil, the Soccer World Cup. And not only have they already paid us for what the filming that takes place on Tuesday, but starting tomorrow morning, they're renovating the whole front of the house and painting out our lounge. I think that's like an answer to prayer, right? It's when you pray, God does things. Now, I'm not suggesting that legacy of a home being made nice is like the ultimate legacy, right? But it's putting God first, and it's actually asking God. I don't know what you need, but you might want to ask, and someone might come and take photographs. Here's another one. Lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Could you imagine if I was more interested in building treasures in heaven than on earth? How many people die leaving like millions behind but they're like miserable and they're like Mr. Scrooge, you know? And they don't actually do much. Others have millions and they do so much. They touch so many lives. Maybe a legacy will be putting stuff away in heaven where you've touched lives. What about this one in John 17? The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. This is Jesus saying, Father, you gave me glory. I gave it to them so they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so the whole world may know that you sent me and loved me. There's a legacy, I think, in there, of this unity. And many of us experienced it on Friday night. If you weren't in one of the biggest productions in Joburg, Starlight, if you weren't there, you were at the Unity Rally, because there was only really two big events in Joburg on Friday night, right? But there was a symbol of unity, of the fact that we may be from different churches, different backgrounds, but we are one. The glory of the Lord. I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Maybe there's a legacy in speaking to others, and you don't have to just do that Sunday morning, but you're telling things about God, about his word, about his kingdom. How can you change lives by living that kind of a legacy? Paul says that I have fought the good faith. The good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There's waiting for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and all who love his appearing. It's quite cool for a guy, I guess he's in his older years, to say like, well, I've done it. I've fought it. Imagine looking back on your deathbed one day to say, you know what? I did it. It's not like regrets. It's not, oh, man. Oh, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that, or I wish I'd loved people more because no one's coming to my bedside. Could you have a legacy? I want you to think about your own today. As you, maybe you're on that left side there where you're really young, or maybe in the middle, or maybe like you like me on that right-hand side. Wherever you find yourself, what could you begin to think that your legacy could be? And this is not something to actually share necessarily, but reflect on it for a moment. What could your legacy be? Debbie challenged us when we were praying this morning for the service about not just being selfish with our lives and who we are. I want to show you a historical example of someone who arguably left a legacy, but no one knows about him. And you'll see whether you've ever heard of him if you haven't, if you've ever watched the movie The Emperor's Club.
You, sir, will you do me a favor and walk to the back of this classroom and read for us the plaque which you see hanging over that door?
I'm Shudrak Nahunte, king of Anshans and Susa, sovereign of the land of Elam. I destroyed Sippar and took the stele of Naran.
Steel?
Took the steel of Naran Sin and brought it back to Elam, where I erected it as an offering to my god. Shudrak Nahunte, 1158 BC.
Well done, Mr. Blythe. Thank you. You may be seated. Shudrak Nahunte, is anyone familiar with this fellow? Texts are permissible, but you won't find it there. Shudrak Nahunte, king, sovereign of the land of Elam, destroyer of Sippar. Behold, his accomplishments cannot be found in any history book. Why? Because great ambition and conquest without contribution is without significance. What will your contribution be? How will history remember you? Shudrak Nahunte, utterly forgotten. Unlike the great men you see around you, Aristotle, Caesar, Augustus, Plato, Cicero, Socrates, giants of history, men of profound character, men whose accomplishments surpass their own lifetime and survive even into our own. Their story is our story.
Hmm. Their story is our story. What if the world's going to be different because we've lived? Maybe we could leave a legacy that will impact on others. How do you think God wants to use you to leave a legacy? I think it begins this morning with believing that God wants to, will, can, intends to use us. Because if I don't believe that, then I'm not going to have courage to rise up when the time comes, will I? There's this amazing statement, and you can figure out how that picture is taken. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things and attempt great things from God, said this missionary many years ago. Volunteer when the time comes. Volunteer. Step up and say, you know what? I may not be perfect or have all the strength and all the courage, but I'm going to do what I can. It's like broadening out my territory. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And I know we don't live in tents, and our tent has not been renovated, but our brick and paint home. But expand. Make it broader. Don't just stay with what you know. Expand. Do the impossible. Attempt the impossible. Push the envelope. It's got nothing to do with pushing little envelopes. It's a mathematical thing that I don't think many of us, apart from Warwick, probably even understand what that means, because I read about it and it lost me. But it's about going beyond the norm. It's about out-of-the-box thinking, stretching the boundary of what is possible. You can do it. There was a time when no pilot had ever broken the sound barrier, and they would come close and they would pull back. There was a time when no runner had ever broken what the 1 minute mile or something. Is that right? 1 minute mile, is that right? And then finally, the 10 second barrier as well for 100 meters. For years, no one did that. But slowly but surely, someone thought, it's impossible, but I'm going to do it. And don't give up when the going gets tough. I'm sure Nelson must have been tempted. If you've seen the film Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, you know that that was a long and tough journey. It wasn't easy. There were many people that disagreed with him and said, let's just overthrow. Let's take those same whiteys and throw them in the ocean. But they didn't. We have a united South Africa because he didn't give up. What if she had never volunteered? What if she had run away with some little good-looking boy? Okay, nothing like me. But he's okay looking, I guess. We did notice last Sunday morning someone nearly fainted in that back corner when certain image came up. What if she had just said, it's an easier option, and they spoke about it. What if you don't step up? What if there's a moment that's your moment and you don't step up? What if you run away? How awful would that be? Maybe God's calling you to act. That tap on the shoulder at some point might be your opportunity to say, you know what, God's calling me, people are expecting, and I am going to actually put my hand up. I'm going to look to join with the hands of others around me, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to fight. It may not be mixed martial arts, although we did see an interesting martial arts place after we ate at Burger King last night in the zone. What's that? Unique martial arts where you can fight without weapons. You can disarm anybody. Are you going to stand and fight? Will you make a difference? And you might get a bit bloody, but it's part of the process. Will you aim at something? There's a memory challenge picture. Would you start a fire? Would you maybe spark a revolution? Who knows, sitting in front of me this morning is someone who might actually just do something so radical that you will never, ever, ever, ever be forgotten. 30 years later, 50 years, do you know that Kenan, that Tiam? Do you know what Kondwani did? Do you know what God's world did? In 2014, he stood up and made a difference.
I've got three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. Now, first off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. He's graced my life with opportunities that I know are not of my hand or any other human hand. He has shown me that it's a scientific fact that gratitude reciprocates. In the words of the late Charlie Lawton, who said, when you got God, you got a friend, and that friend is you. To my family, that's who and what I look forward to. To my father, who I know is up there right now with a big pot of gumbo. He's got a lemon meringue pie over there. He's probably in his underwear, and he's got a cold can of Miller Lite. He's dancing right now. To you, Dad, you taught me what it means to be a man. To my mother, who's here tonight, who taught me and my two older brothers demanded that we respect ourselves. And what we in turn learned was then we were better able to respect others. Thank you for that, Mama. To my wife, Camilla, and my kids, Levi, Peter, and Mr. Stone, the courage and significance you give me every day I go out the door is unparalleled. You are the four people in my life that I want to make the most proud of me. Thank you. And to my hero, that's who I chase. Now, when I was 15 years old, I had a very important person in my life come to me and say, who's your hero? And I said, I don't know, I got to think about that. Give me a couple of weeks. I come back 2 weeks later. This person comes up and says, who's your hero? I said, I thought about it. You know who it is? I said, it's me in 10 years. So I turned 25 10 years later. That same person comes to me and goes, so are you a hero? And I was like, not even close. No. She said, why? I said, because my hero is me at 35. So you see, every day, every week, every month, and every year of my life, my hero's always 10 years away. I'm never going to be my hero. I'm not going to attain that. I know I'm not. And that's just fine with me because that keeps me with somebody to keep on chasing. So to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to, whatever it is we look forward to, and whoever it is we're chasing, to that I say amen. To that I say all right, all right, all right. To that I say just keep living, huh? Thank you.
I think it was last... I know we're in Auckland, we were watching the Oscars live on that side of the world, 11-hour time zone away. And when I saw Matthew McConaughey receive that award for Best Actor, and when I heard that speech, everyone in the room leaned forward because that sounded like a life that's making a difference. It wasn't the normal, oh, and this producer and that video camera person. And yeah, those thank yous are all important. But there's someone saying, I'm doing this for something great. I'm doing what I do for something special. We're not talking about legacy in the four walls of a church building. We're talking about a legacy in your life, wherever that is, wherever that might be. What will you be remembered for? 5 years after we're gone, 10 years, 20 years, will we be remembered for something really significant. May you last. May your legacy outlive you. Let's pray together. Lord, maybe we've got a hint of where our future's going. Maybe we just have no clue. But right now we want to say, Lord, if you're calling us and we sense that you are, to make a difference in our world, then we want to have the courage, the hope, the strength of character to respond positively when you tap us on the shoulder and you offer us something to do that's unique and tailor-made to our strengths and gifts. And would you use us when that time comes? Would you help us to overcome, Lord God, feelings of insecurity, feelings of insignificance, to know that you want to work through us in a profound way? We thank you, Lord God, for people who have made a difference in the world in which we live so that our world, our life is better because they lived. May we repay that favor. May we pass it on. May we give to others a better future. Help us, Lord God, to ever be chasing and looking up to you, chasing after what we can become and what this world can become. And we thank you for what you will do through lives that are surrendered to you. In the incredible name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.